hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm still considering moving to Hawaii.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are speaking once again with Alex.
The bud tender.
The bud tender. And he joins us today with his business partner, Danny. Hello, Alex and Danny. Welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
How we doing, everybody?
Doing good.
Everything's good over here.
Great to hear.
Yeah, tired of the snow, but it's all good. Alex, if you remember back, Alex joined us a few years ago. I can't believe it was years ago already.
I know,
when
right?
We discussed, time flies, medical cannabis. And Alex was a bud tender at the time and shared a great deal of information that even a novice medical cannabis user could, you know, easily understand. Today, he and Danny will be talking about the history of hemp and what CBD is all about, because it's often, we hear about it in the news. Hi, Alex. Hi, Danny.
How you guys doing?
So I understand, Alex, that you've been pretty busy since we talked last. You and Danny actually started your own company, right? Can you tell us and our listeners a little bit about what brought you to that point?
Yeah. So obviously, like we were saying, you know, I was in the medical cannabis industry for what was 4 years when I decided to kind of step away and focus on the hemp industry, mainly with CBD, because it was so familiar from the dispensary. But basically, we wanted to dive into something that we thought could bring a greater impact to the planet, you know, and that's through hemp. And obviously, CBD can help with a handful of different things, and it's helped so many people already. But, you know, the best part about hemp is that it's more than just, you know, one option, I guess. So that's where we really decided to go that route.
Okay. And that's kind of what we're focusing on now. Can you tell us more about hemp and CBD? And for anyone aware of hemp, is this something that's fairly new, or what's going on with it?
Yeah, no, and so hemp's been around since the earliest Chinese civilization, so like 8,000 BCE. They're using it for pottery, foods, medicine. And then basically from there, you know, we'll say, you know, Asia, 2000 BCE, you can start to follow it heading west, basically, till the present, you know, 20th day century. But most of its evolution is spent, you know, not really on medicinal purposes. I mean, that really didn't change. It was always like using the seeds and the oils from the plants. I'm sure that they smoked it back then too. Maybe not as, I don't know, freely, I guess. I think that they were using more of the seeds and oils because that's where the more benefit was coming from. But the evolution was basically around ingenuity and innovation. So between 700 BCE and 100 BCE, we see our first paper mills pop up, and it's effectively using hemp to create paper, and it's ran by water and animals, you know, and what's crazy is you can even look back to like some of the Viking civilizations, and, you know, they were using hemp rope, and hemp rope has definitely been around probably from even the earlier civilizations, but we see people start to use it more as a tool rather than, I would say, a medicine. But basically from there, you know, we're in the British colonies. King Henry is basically fining farmers in 1533 because they weren't growing hemp, which is crazy to think about, you know, especially now there's a gap in the U.S. history that doesn't allow that. And then in 1776, you know, you got the Declaration of Independence. It's written on hemp paper. 1916, the USDA publishes findings that hemp produces four times the more paper per acre than trees. And then in 1937, the Marijuana Tax Act kind of puts hemp on the decline, definitely. And then in the 57s, you know, you got the last commercial hemp fields being planted up in Wisconsin. 1970. That basically puts an end to all of that. The Controlled Substance Act comes into play, yeah. But then good news comes in 2004 when basically the Hemp Industries Association takes on the DEA and a Ninth Circuit court basically says we're going to protect the sales of hemp foods and body products in the U.S. And then, you know, 3 years later, two North Dakota farmers are given the first hemp license in over, you know, close to 50 years, which is insane since the Controlled Substance Act. And then in 2014, President Barack Obama at the time signs the Farm Bill, which basically allowed the research or research institutions to start looking at hemp again and seeing how we can use it. And it's just kind of funny, you know, like as we look back at the earliest of like the time periods, if you want, people were freely using this in the evolution of hemp itself was fast. I mean, people were really realizing that it had such a unique, and then it comes, you know, it comes to the West and it just is completely shut down almost. I mean, we still see it today. I mean, the East from Europe to Asia and in between, they still use hemp pretty heavily. The regulations, I would say, are probably so. Hopefully we as the West can kind of get back up to speed and start using hemp is more than, you know, just an outlet CBD, I guess.
So. Okay.
Well, great. Yeah, and I think in North America, Canada has kind of maintained their use of hemp where we did not.
Yeah. Yeah. So specifically just kind of the U.S. is really not utilizing this product.
Right. And like you said, you know, it can be, it's easier to make paper out of it. You don't have to have.
I've seen hemp toilet paper now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you don't have to. I mean, trees take some time to grow, whereas you can get a hemp harvest in 1 year.
Yep.
So I think that makes a difference as well.
Per year.
Or multiple harvests. Okay.
Well, yeah, because you could take this all indoor and you know you can build an environment that's going to do just that. I mean, increase the grow time. You know what I mean? So cut that down, I should say. But like, you know, there's people already messing with genetics as far as like fibers and the stalks go and stuff like that. So it looks good, but it's just it is kind of funny how fast you could see it progress. And then when it gets kind of to the U.S., it just
restrictive.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, another off topic, and I'm sorry, but I think one famous example, Woody Harrelson has always in his contracts that all of his clothing will be made out of hemp.
Oh,
interesting. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is,
thank God for Woody.
I mean, when you watch the movies, you can't distinguish if it's cotton or hemp.
Exactly.
And yeah, it's okay.
Well, great. Well, thanks for that background, Alex. That was great.
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like I had a history lesson here.
You did.
Danny, how did you and Alex get started in this business? Was it basically a limited supply and demand to your friends and family that, you know, you just wanted to help them out? Or did you just jump in with both feet and say, go big or go home?
Again, thanks for having us. I think that's a very loaded question. I think this is something me and Alex talked about probably back in 2010, 2012, when we were just sitting in the garage hanging out, just being in the industry and being a part of the industry. I left to California as kind of my outlet to get closer to the plant, just because I was using like Norcos and Vicodins kind of just for the reasons I do have scoliosis. So I am in always kind of a consistent twist and turn type of motion, trying to relieve pain. But really what drove us to get into the industry was really just wanting to work for ourselves. A big motivational push for me was losing my father, my stepfather at that. I didn't want to continue just working for somebody else and growing someone else's dream. And I'm a big supporter of the plant. My background comes from retail distribution and freight logistics. So supply chain management's right up my alley.
Okay.
So it was just wanting to bring more traditional SOP processes within to the industry and just kind of be at the forefront of bringing the industry in the direction that it needs to, full transparency about where your plant's coming from, seed to processing to manufacturing, kind of the full boat. So just basically taking what I've learned through my previous walks of life and applying it to this growing industry and doing what I love, because I'm a big supporter and believer of the plant. kind of like how Alex was touching, it's more than just about the consumer uses within the plant. You've got multiple industrial applications from the plant, from the concrete to the fibers. I mean, you can make dynamite out of it when it comes down to it. And really looking into the plastic applications for it. But when it comes down to it, it really was just getting quality product into people's hands. And at the end of the day, bringing transparency along with it. We support a few different brands kind of across the country. We are going to be looking at potentially rolling out our own in-house brands soon, just because we are close to manufacturing. So it just kind of makes sense. And yeah, I mean, we're just big supporters and believers of the plant. It's kind of what brought us here, just doing what we love and our passion for the plant.
That's amazing.
And as far as your company name, how did you guys come about?
Canapros. So that was actually, that was fun. Originally, it went from CBD Pros Online to CBD Pros Distribution. And then we didn't want to just lock ourselves into just CBD because there are so many other cannabinoids. So we decided to take the canna part of cannabis.
Okay.
And that's how we kind of came up with CannaPros Distribution.
Okay.
And hopefully one day when I truthfully do see the market going wreck, we'll have that supply chain set up and continue to just push the plant in the direction it needs to go in, and that's getting into people's hands to use. So,
okay. Well, and Alex, can you tell us what exactly is CBD?
Yeah, so CBD stands for cannabidol. Cannabidol is one of the 100, you know, different cannabinoids out there, and I'm sure they're only going to find more and more as the research kind of gets into it, you know. But basically, you know, so CBD or cannabidol is going to respond naturally to your CB1 receptor. And that's actually one of two receptors in which cannabinoids play off of. I've read a couple of things where, you know, it and it's with CBD or cannabis, you know, claims are a very sensitive part. So, you know, I've read some things where it says it does work exactly with the receptors. And then I've read some things where it says it kind of just plays off them. But the truth is it's working with your body, and it's pretty amazing. You know, it's anti-inflammatory, it's antifungal, antibacterial, analgesic, so pain relief, you know, it's even neuroprotective, you know, so we're seeing like a lot of football players use CBD because of the amount of impact that they're getting. So basically what the studies are showing is that CBD is forming a protective barrier, and it's, you know, and when we get into some of the other cannabinoids later, you know, it's not just CBD, obviously it's what we would have called in the dispensary the entourage effect, where it's multiple cannabinoids working together, but they pretty much all have a similar function, you know, where the ones that we talk about later, like CBC, CBG, CBN, those are a little bit more standalone, where they are definitely have some similarities, but they have some main differences that people can really take advantage of. So, you know, like I said, it's just one of 100 different cannabinoids, but it's also found a lot more prevalent too. You know, it's easier to access. So,
yeah, it's easier to extract.
Let me just jump in real quick with the question. You mentioned that a lot of football players are using it.
Yeah.
Is this something that, you know, you look at the unions with the NFL and, you know, the other pro sports league, is that something that is protected or it's not?
As far as like drug testing stuff go? Yeah. So, and I'd have to find it, but I know it's out there. So, like baseball, the NFL, I'm not sure about the NHL, but I know baseball and the NFL are done with testing for effectively cannabinoids.
Okay. So that's something, you know, that if it's in your system, you won't get penalized for.
Yeah. And so
okay,
what is important to know here too is that, you know, which is another reason why we got into it, is the consistency of the CBD products. Not all CBD oil is the same, even though it's pretty much all created the same way. Not everyone is as committed for your best interest, if you will.
Understood.
So There are some CBD oils out there, and there's probably less now because more people are becoming aware and in cracking down. But, you know, they would put on there no THC and someone would go fail a drug test, you know, and it's because they were using a distillate and not an isolate, mm-hmm. you know, where distillate contains that trace legal amount of THC, where the isolate is a pure CBD compound, right? So if people are using good CBD, even back in the day, they didn't really have to worry about failing that drug test. Okay. But it was, you know, unless you see it made, how can you trust those people, you know?
Right.
So I think that's a huge part of the distribution side, is we're doing the due diligence to make sure that these facilities are up to date, that they're following all the codes that they have to. You know, we've seen legality issues. We have a lifestyle box for a snowboarder right now, and we really can't send it anywhere but the U.S., which is okay because he's, you know, a U.S. athlete, if you will, but or grounded in the U.S. But because of the legalities in Canada, we couldn't send it to a buyer in Canada, and it's like it's a decimal point. You know, they're 0.02 or we're 0.03, and, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. So the good thing about that is the EU is kind of get to that 0.3. And then you would hope that that's like the standard. But even then, we know that compliance of THC needs to be higher. When you're able to get as much CBD as you can from a hemp plant, there's no reason that THC has to be so small. And we're talking entourage effects. So you don't need 100 milligrams of THC with your 100 milligrams of CBD. You know, 1 milligram is enough for your body to work with. You know, are you getting high? Probably not, but you already know that. You know, if you wanted to recreationally or medicinally use cannabis, like, you would seek out something that's more appropriate for you. So I hope that answers your question and didn't dive into kind of a rabbit hole, but
No, it did, because, you know, a lot of people are using it, and you know, sports is a big industry.
Yeah.
Well, so they have to just be careful where they source it.
Right.
They're going to have to contact
absolutely
Canapro distribution.
And like, so, absolutely. Oh, I've reached out to some pro athletes already trying to reel them in. But it's like, you know, Gronkowski, I'm sure you guys all know of him. He just won a Super Bowl after coming out of retirement. He was hooked up with a CBD company. I forget the name of them, but, you know, it's there. Yeah. I know from, yeah, you know, we got hockey players that we know of that have companies and stuff like that. But it's, it really isn't shocking at how many professional athletes have used it or still use it or, you know, want to try it.
Well, I think the key thing
is, as we break down these barriers, yeah. No, you go. Sorry.
Okay, sorry about that. I think the key thing, my takeaway, is that they're free to use it. It's not something that they can't use or they have to try and cover up, that the league, I guess, can see the benefit without, if you will, the negative impact, so that the league is allowing that to be used versus some of these other things where if it's caught in your system, you know, like in baseball, it's a 50-game ban right away. But yeah, something like PPEs, this, it's fine if you use it.
Well, yeah, I would say check with your agent,
sure,
and your healthcare provider, and make sure. Yeah, so
but it's not flat across the board. If you use it, you've got to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And Alex, I've heard of CBD being used in a multitude of ways, from taking it internally to using it topically. Can you tell our listeners what types of products you are going to be working with?
Yeah, and so we definitely try to keep it open to all aspects, because like we said, there's so many different properties to what CBD can bring as far as like relief to one's, you know, mm-hmm. But it, you know, I would definitely say that there's certain items that are probably more suited for certain we could call them injuries or ailments, I guess. But so basically, you know, there's the tincture form, or the oral oil drops, if you will. And those are really good for everyday use, kind of. I would say, like, if you're someone that deals with some anxiety in the morning, or maybe your focus in the morning is a huge thing. A lot of the people that I've gotten set up with some CBD tinctures say that they use it the most in the morning because they're just a little too groggy, I guess. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have some health issues that are requiring them to change their diet, so move away from coffee and stuff like that. And where CBD isn't going to stimulate you necessarily in that sense, it does help you focus. Okay. So even that little bit of help there goes a long way. But then you have your salves and your lotions, right? So say you sprained your ankle or something like that, you know, you could effectively take the tinctures and I'm sure you can get some relief. But through my own experience, if you're already using things like Icy Hot or Bengay or Tiger Balm, like a CBD lotion is something that you should check out, because it has just the same abilities, might be even cheaper, and is less in the products we have, at least is less offensive as far as that menthol-y smell and stuff like that. Okay. But you can see it in everything. I mean, we've contacted people about cold brew coffees and CBD. You can find CBD infused intimacy products. So there is something that there, I guess there isn't something that someone hasn't tried to put CBD in, but again, that's where we kind of coming in, and we're just trying to find consistency and thoughtfully curated products by brands that you can trust. You know, our goal with the Canapros box is to target lifestyle, you know, so like we did a snowboarding thing, and there's a lot of wear and tear on your body. So CBD is really good for just about all action sports or sports in general. But like I said, we've reached out to some pro athletes and we've had some really good conversations. So we're excited what to come, you know, especially in the action sports world. But yeah, you know, I myself am dedicated to breaching a lot of these barriers. There's no reason why someone can't, you know, and I'm just happy that I'm able to do it. You know, I would be happy that anyone can, but, you know, I really look forward to sitting down with these people and educating them. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing, is there's a lack of education, mm-hmm. or maybe it's just ignorance, you know. I mean, people don't want to, you know.
Education has been lacking, though, because it's been taboo for so long.
Exactly. Yeah. No, and like I said, from the history lesson, you know, it got to the U.S. and it effectively was shut down. So, I mean, when we're talking to people inside the U.S., it can be a bit of a challenge.
I can see that.
So Danny, after looking at your website, it looks like you guys are between manufacturing and also a retailer. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct. So if you're a retail location looking to diversify your option of products, and we've got everything from your vapes to your topicals to your tinctures, really anything that you'd want. If you're looking for something unique, we do have an extensive network, so we kind of do go out there for retailers and find even specific products that they're looking for. And sometimes we even find people that are willing to kind of spin off brands because the market's niche. And it's just at the end of the day, keeping transparency between retailer, brand, and manufacturer, I guess you could say. So we help retailers, we help brands. And at the end of the day, it kind of just all comes back to just that full supply chain. We do even help with merchant processing. So if you're a retail location that's looking to bring on products, but you're worried that you can't process them with your traditional, say your Square setup or your Visa, MasterCard, you do have to go through a certain process. And being able to do that, you can't just go ahead and use your current system, because if they do find out, you could get that shut down. So at the end of the day, it's the distribution company is really just there to help people. Okay. In a multitude of ways. So, and like Alex was touching on, our diversification across products, it's there within our brands and for people looking to create brands. So that's what we're here for.
Okay.
Great. Thanks.
And Danny, I think you just touched on this then. There is a legality issue when dealing with CBD products as far as federally restricted, like cannabis. So you're saying that you can't really take a credit card or a debit card payment for the purchase, right?
You can, but so the way merchant processing is set up, that you have risk levels within businesses. So they consider this industry currently high risk. Firearms is another one, tobacco, things like that. If you're running a clothing store online, you're going to see a much lower rate, little to none sometimes. So right now, if you're a smoke shop, yeah, you are probably considered high risk, but they also don't know now that you're carrying CBD products. So some merchant processors won't touch CBD just because the FDA hasn't really drawn a clear line on how you can be marketing these products. So you definitely have to be very careful when it comes to doing that. The Farm Bill is in place and it does protect us and what we're doing. But again, we have to be careful in how we market products, whether that's on the shelf or online, because like I said, that gray line, the FDA does come after people for making medical claims on their products and things like that, because the research isn't there. But hopefully we start to see the doors open up a little bit more. You're definitely starting to see places like India starting to open up more and more. I mean, they are one of the highest exporting countries when it comes to it. But as far as their recreational use, they're definitely more on the spiritual side. So they call it bhang, and that's kind of how they use it. So it's definitely nice seeing the shift kind of across the world and the open arms to the plant.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, interesting. Alex, this one's for you. I've heard different terms, the CBD, CBN, CBC, CBG.
CBS.
CBS, that's a great
one. Television studio, okay.
NBC, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I was saying earlier, I mean, there is an enormous amount of cannabinoids out there, over 100 different ones. We mainly see people talk about THC and CBD. Again, they're a lot easier to access through processing. But also in the same sense, that's because they're more abundant. Through the maturity of the plant, both of these cannabinoids are going to develop, I would say, probably the most, unless you're breeding a certain strain, right? So your standard hemp, right, high in CBD, low in THC, right. Could be high in CBG at some point, but as we break down to that, we'll see what happens with CBG. But so to start, CBN is cannabinol. Mildly psychoactive, which is kind of its similarity to THC, and generally promotes the same sleepiness as THC would. It's found in mostly aged cannabis or hemp, and basically it occurs over time, and that's being naturally. You can extract it through the processing system probably faster that way. You can obtain more that way. Mm-hmm. But as far as naturally occurring, basically THCA, which is the acidic form of THC, basically just has a little tail on the molecule. When it's oxidized, it becomes CBN. So again, that's going to help with things like insomnia. Okay. And it's good for sleep. And then we have CBG, which is cannabigerol, and basically it's the decarboxylated form, what we would say is decarb for short. CBGA, which is cannabigerol acid. And basically all these cannabinoids are going to be effectively have an acidic form. So if you ever see CBDA, THCA, it's effectively the same thing. And once enough heat is applied, you lose that acidic form and it becomes that regular THC or CBD compound. But so with CBG, it's actually kind of thought of as, like, I don't know if you want to say the founding cannabinoid, but it actually possesses the ability to synthesize over time into other cannabinoids. And I think that there's still a lot of research to be done on this. you know, I definitely know from what I've read is at the beginning, CBG is so far less into its maturity, we'll say, because not necessarily at the beginning, but far less into its maturity, it's going to have higher CBG numbers. But over time, those are going to translate to things like THC or CBD. Okay. And, okay. you know, it's not always a specific amount, you know, but generally we're going to see like 1% of CBG left over in the plant. And CBG has some standalone, maybe not standalone, but standout properties. It's good for the digestive tract and like bowel issues. So, you know, symptoms like Crohn's and IBS, you know, it would probably be in your benefit to try something with higher levels of CBG. And again, this isn't like your THC or your CBD where you can see things fluctuate 5%, 10%, you know, you could go into a dispensary and find 31% THC flower if you wanted to, where your CBG is really low. I mean, I would, like I said, you're left over with kind of 1%. I mean, in some of the high minor distillates that we see, I don't even think I've seen it over 2%, but it's been a while since I looked at a COA for that one. But it's crazy. Like I was saying, like, you don't need 100 milligrams or even 10 milligrams, you know, which we would see as a standard dose in a dispensary to have an effect. You know, you just need it to be able to synergistically react with the other cannabinoids in that entourage effect.
Okay. Okay.
To be more effective, you know. Okay. So then there's CBC, cannabichromine, another non-psychoactive, you know, won't get you high like THC. And basically it's shown to encourage human brain growth. So this is probably one that needs the most research done on it, but it is showing that there is a correlation with developing brain cells or having the ability to develop new brain cells in a neurogenesis way. So again, in 2007, or was it, I think it was 2014, sorry, Barack Obama just let, you know, this is 6-7 years ago, he just gave the okay for research facilities to start diving into hemp again. So I'm only excited to see the research that comes out of it, but it sure just goes to show you how new the industry seems and kind of is. I mean, the plant that makes up the industry has been around probably longer than we have it dated, but like, you know, like we say in the U.S., it's seemingly new. Right. So,
well, and I think one of the issues with research into, you know, CBD and THC and the other cannabinoids is that it has been restricted, and at a university level, which is where you would typically see the most research being done, mm-hmm. and published, because there was the No Drugs, you know, on the School Grounds Act that carried through in the 1980s, it was very, very, very difficult for researchers who wanted to get more or gain more information to actually, you know, utilize anything. And they were also, if they did get federal permission to conduct a study, there was only one source in the entire country that they were able to get their supply from. And they said the supply was so poor that it made people sick.
Yeah,
and they were very disappointed that they weren't able to source their own product for research. Yep. And I know a professor at the University of Colorado she does research, and then she was also utilizing product when she had breast cancer. But she was just very disappointed that she wasn't able to conduct any research because of the restrictions placed on the school. And they actually had to come about it from a different perspective in order to be able to find product themselves that they wanted to utilize, and then to conduct research that wasn't on campus grounds, so that they didn't interface those. So I guess it will be, we'll learn more and more as time goes by
and as restrictions are lifted.
Right. Yeah. Right.
No, absolutely. And to touch on that, it's, I forget the doctor's name, but he's a Israeli doctor who he founded THC basically. And it was on the premise of, why haven't we tried to extract from this plant? Mm-hmm. When I was reading it, I was like, are you serious? Like, mm-hmm. it came down to, we've basically extracted from every other plant but this one. So it's it almost seems to be the trend of this plant is, and unfortunately the right people are noticing it really late. I guess, you know, I mean, there's so many users of cannabis and hemp around the world, but how many of those users are in powerful enough positions to do something about it, you know, in a positive way? So
sure. Alex, as you were going through the CBG and the whole alphabet with the cannabinoids, I was very impressed. I didn't realize you were such a chemist, but could you break it down for our listeners that don't really have that level of chemistry background?
Yeah, and it's a pretty easy breakdown, honestly, which is, I feel like when you dive into the cannabinoids, they become confusing, almost because they all sound the same. But basically, CBN, sleep.
Yeah, okay, you know, so N really is for sleep. Nighttime sleep. I can remember that.
There you go. Yeah, see? There you go. CBG, I kind of just put the base of all cannabinoids, but helps with digestion.
So GI.
GI, okay.
Yeah, GI. There you go,
GI.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And then CBC, I just kind of put down, you know, promotes healthy brain activity and non-psychoactive. I think
cranium.
Adding the fact, yeah, I think adding that it's non-psychoactive is probably most important because, again, a lot of people are afraid to try these different cannabinoids because they're just unsure and there's not enough information and there's not enough valuable information, right? Like for me, as someone who's worked in the dispensary and seen people, you know, fret about things like THC and in it being, you know, overwhelming, if you can find something that helps your brain fog and is non-psychoactive, like, you've just hit the jackpot, because if you're dealing with a brain fog and now you expose yourself to something that maybe stimulates your brain, and I wouldn't say in a negative way, but maybe your motor skills are less coherent, you know, and everyone's different. So to say that THC, you know, inhibits your motor skills is not entirely accurate, but for some people with a pre-existing condition, that might be very possible, you know? So for someone to get something that's not affecting you in a quote unquote, maybe negative way is always great.
Sure.
Right. I agree. Well, that's a great breakdown. I appreciate that. And you guys handle all of these products, correct?
We do. As they become more and more available, you know, you probably won't see too much CBC, but we do have some CBN sleep gummies from a brand that's called Soothe. They're phenomenal. Okay. Vegan. 10% of their proceeds go to like mental health awareness and stuff like that, so a great company through and through. But then they also have a CBD and CBG like strawberry gummy that we do have. So
okay,
hopefully we'll see some CBC soon. But yeah, as the U.S. industry starts to kind of move forward, I mean, it's going in a good direction. You know, we see crops that are high in CBG and people are trying to have crops that are high in CBN. So people are already, like I said, playing with the genetics to get what they want. And then once they have that dialed in, it's a matter of increasing production. And that might be a whole nother battle in itself, because as we see through traditional U.S. Agricultural methods, sometimes we're not always right, and we do more harm to the environment than necessary. But like I said, people are taking the right steps, and you know, it's going to be a fun journey
for sure.
And Danny, how has COVID affected your business and the way in which you conduct business?
It definitely kind of threw us a little bit for a spin, because when we first originally started going into this, it was brand to retail direct, and we were going to eventually obviously grow into everything else. That was the long-term vision. But with COVID, we jumped in kind of head first. I mean, we were all in, and we had an influx of inventory, and with retails shops kind of closing doors and things like that. And it's actually what led us to pivoting and rolling out the box side of things so we can kind of get rid of that inventory. And so now we have our consumer side. So it was just, it kind of just all worked itself out. And it's like Alex said, lifestyle focused. But our distribution side, we pivoted. I really started focusing on bulk raw sales, and then started focusing on the contract manufacturing side of things, and started just diversifying the book of business a little bit and just doing what we need to do to stay afloat and kind of get through the times that we're going through. Outside of this, I am also very entrepreneurial. So I do work in the chemical space, especially with all this COVID stuff. I'm helping with disinfectant wipe manufacturing. So we're actually setting up some three manufacturing facilities down in Texas. So it's kind of what I've been spending my time on the side. So it's been crazy and it's been a whirlwind, but we've kept swimming. So it's been fun, and we're looking forward to 2021 as shops start to open back up, as things start to open back up, we can start going to our events again. We've been focusing on the disc golf industry very heavily. One of the top courses is right there in Lockport with Sean and Thor and all those guys. So it's been fun and we've gotten through it. And yeah, that's all we can really say about it.
Okay. And if our, are you guys actively seeking customers, and how can our listeners learn more about you guys, your team, and your box options?
Yeah, we're definitely out there hitting retail shops again as they're starting to open up. We've actually had some even just starting to open back up this month, and they've been closed since November or December. So it's great to hear. We're looking forward to seeing how we can help retail shops, educate retail shops. On the box side, we've got canapprosbox.com. We're going to be adding more and more of our own custom box options. And obviously, there will be more savings behind that. But our distribution side, same thing. It gives a breakdown of what we offer, our services. Merchant processing, you can begin the application right there. As far as actual employees, right now we're kind of keeping it small just because of COVID and all those things. But any 1099s, we're always willing to partner up with the right people and have some fun together, because that's what it's about, growing together.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And I guess to add to that, you know, if you're a retail shop and you're just opening up and you're interested in CBD, you know, hop on the website, shoot us an email, give us a call, you know. We'll be there to answer your questions at the very least.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. Alex and Danny, both, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm sorry that Ron had to scoot out. He's got a state archery tournament tomorrow he had to drive out to. Oof. So we already lost him. See how things change?
Yeah, right.
We wish you guys both the best of health as you continue your journey. And I'm sure that our listeners will want to reach out to you, not only for your products, for themselves, for their pets, maybe as a new business venture. So go ahead and give us your website info, whatever else you want to give us.
Yeah, so distribution is just canaprosdistribution.com. And then it's pretty easy to navigate. You could find the, I think, bottom left where your merchant processing application is going to be. But you just kind of go on there, make your profile, and then get in contact with us from there. And then on the box side, you know, canaprosbox.com, check it out. You know, like Danny said, we're building it up. We should have some more boxes here this year. We only have one so far, but it's done tremendously well. And the savings is close to, I think, $80, you know, over four products and some stickers. So stay tuned for that.
And this is something, the box is something that you will, it's like a subscription that you'll send it out every quarter or something.
Or is it a one-time purchase?
Yeah, so with all our products, you have the ability to subscribe, and that's every 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days, which is nice. And we wanted it that way because the way people use CBD is so different. You know, someone might use it every month, someone might use it every 2 months, you know. So
sure.
We wanted to leave that open. Because we didn't want people really coming back and being like, well, I'm forced to get this every month, but I don't use it every month, you know?
Right.
As a consumer myself, things, you know, there's one thing I hate, it's being charged for something I don't need. We leave that open, but then you could just buy it one time, you know? Mm-hmm. And generally, we see people who buy it the one time come back and buy it again. So, I think our goal is to get more and more subscribers, and that only helps the subscriber. They, you know, they save, I think, up to 15%, might only be 10%, but I think it's 15.
Okay.
And, you know, and you can set it up how you want it. You know, you can set it up what days you want it delivered and sent out and all that stuff. So
that's great.
Check us out.
I promise we have
something for you. Like you mentioned dogs, you know, our dog products do, and I shouldn't just say dog, our pet products do really well. We have Honest Paws in our repertoire of CBD companies. So they do amazing peanut butter, dog treats, tinctures. They even have like a muscle rub for your dog. So check it out.
All right. Excellent. Excellent news. Great. Thank you. If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, you can drop us a line at podcastdx@yahoo.com through our website, podcastdx.com. On Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.